again. Quiet, please.
Ready.
Welcome to the pod, Mariposa. Now, I would ask you how you're doing, but I can see that you are going through a very difficult time with your mom, as your mom is in hospice and you are taking care of her all by yourself at home. Many people around the U.S. go through this, and many have a lot of problems with hospitals that mess up in certain medications and other things. And many people do have a good, you know, outcome, but many do not. And you are one of the ones that unfortunately did not have a good outcome and is still going through a hard time with your mom as she is in hospice at your house and you are taking care of her. Tell us, how did this happen? How did you get to where you are now with her? And how did it all begin?
Okay, we just started, like, we used to live in different houses because the last couple of years we didn't get along that much. One day she called me and asking me, like, she was telling me that she wasn't feeling right.
What was her condition? What was she feeling? What were her symptoms?
She had Parkinson's. She had pneumonia. I'm trying to remember the
She was diagnosed with Parkinson's there, or she already had it and was treating it?
She already had it.
Okay.
But she had fibrosis pulmonary too, final stage.
Okay. So everything started creeping up on her, like enhancing?
Yes. Okay. It started happening. Like, she told me that she wasn't feeling right, but she never told me that she was feeling really bad. So what I told her is, I'm going to send you an Uber and I'll meet you here at the hospital.
What was she telling you that she was feeling?
She couldn't breathe that much because she had the fibrosis.
Okay.
So she couldn't breathe that much, but she never told me exactly that she was really bad, that she passed out and everything at her place. So because she never told me like that, I told her, like, okay, I'm going to send you over so I don't have to go get her and come back.
Okay.
And so I met her at the hospital, the ER, and as soon as they took the oxygen, they checked the oxygen, she was like on the 40-something. The normal is 90, and she was on 40.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So they put her in ICU. We were waiting. One of those days, that was like, I stayed with her like the whole time. I didn't even came to my place to change or anything. I was staying with her. And the sixth day, the doctor came to me and he told me that I have to be ready. She only have no more than 6 days alive.
Oh my goodness. And what was your reaction? How did you feel at that moment?
Okay. I was desperate. Because I feel kind of bad what we've been through before, and I didn't have the chance. I wasn't having the chance to like repair or the
damage. To have you know? Closure.
Yes, and I prayed a lot to God to just give me time so I can, you know, I can forgive her and I can make it up. Whatever, like, everybody make mistakes. Then we stayed there like almost a month, and I was there for a month. So the nurse was putting the penicillin for the diabetic. She's diabetic. Uh-huh. And I told her, like, listen, what about the food? So she totally forgot about the food, and my mom passed out with the sugar. It was like super down.
Okay, so they forgot to feed her.
They put the penicillin, like, as soon as they put the penicillin, they have to feed her.
And they never got her after penicillin.
And then never, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that moment, I thought she was going to die. Like, even the doctor put me something to calm me down, mm-hmm. like an injection. I don't know what was it.
What?
Yes, because I was out of control. I was out of control.
Uh-oh. Okay. And you have nobody else there with you?
Nobody else. It was only me.
Only you.
That's when the doctor started talking to one of the nurses and tried to find out my brother, to figure out where was my brother. And Fortunately, he came the next day. He didn't even work the first day.
Is your brother in the same city you're at, or he has
Yes,
to?
it's we are the same city, but I haven't talked to, well, that back in that time, I didn't talk to him for like almost 20 years.
So you were also in cahoots with your brother.
Yes. Finally, my brother came the next day, and then she got a little better. But the problem started with they forgot to feed her after the penicillin, and then they decided to put her on morphine. When they put her on morphine, of course, she was out, like she was sleeping the whole time. A little time when she woke up, same things that this so doesn't make sense. And fortunately, my mom's brain is still is 100% perfect. So right now she can talk, she can do anything, she remember everything. But back in that time, she was saying things that didn't make any sense, and I was so worried. After t doctor told me that she only have like a couple days left. Well, imagine.
So,
Okay, so
what did they tell you? Why did she have 6 days left? So what were the what was the diagnosis?
the fibrosis pulmonary started like hitting her really bad. She's in the final stage still. Okay, so they put her the morphine so she doesn't feel that pain that she got in the lungs, plus the breathing thing that she can breathe. She's right now she's in oxygen 24/7.
Okay, she cannot breathe on her own.
She cannot breathe on her own.
Okay.
So 1 month passed, and of course the whole hospital and the doctors told me that okay, she need to go to a home with a hospice care. She was still on morphine, but at that time I didn't know exactly, or like I didn't know the better that what morphine was doing to her. Because every time she woke up, she says she have a little pain, but it's not like a cancer pain. It was just like a little tiny pain.
Yeah, she was under the medication of morphine, and she was just numb to everything. And you thought that she was that was normal because of what she was going through, right? But they kept.
Exactly. For me, I trust everybody. Like, and so when that went, and a month later, almost a month later, he told me like I have to take you to hospice care on a home. And I was like, I don't want it. Like she never wanted to go to a home care. So I was looking for a home care, but the one is private, so I can stay there and live with her and take care of her.
You were working with your insurance company, right?
Yes, but the rent of the apartments, it's kind of apartments. It was crazy. It was like $9,000. The cheapest one, it was like $7,000 a month. So the insurance we paid everything else, but the rent I had to pay myself. And of course, I was like, "What should I? I mean, I didn't know what to do because I didn't have that money, that kind of money." And the doctor, the nurse told me that I can do a hospice care in my house. And I was like, okay, thank God that I have the best roommate I ever had. Like for real. That's for me, it's an angel. This guy is totally an angel. I got the room next to my room, it was empty. And one of those days that I came to shower, go back very quick, he kind of asked me, like, how's your mom? And I totally like started like crying. I was desperate. I told him, please, I don't know what to do. I don't want her to leave. She's my mother, And he told me, like, why? And I explained the situation. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't want to take it to a home. And he said, why you don't bring her here? You have the room next to you is empty. And I thought about it. I spoke to my brother. And I was like, okay, of course, it's not gonna be for free. I have to pay double rent, my rent plus my mom's rent. And it's been a roller coaster. In the beginning, the first week, I have hell for like the nurses 24/7. Well, 24/7 for just for a week. In that week, a lot of things happened
Like what?
because the morphine.
But what
Because
happened?
I,
Tell us what happened. What was it? What happened
okay,
that week?
because I have all this help, I was going in my computer and trying to like why she was like acting the way she were, like talking nonsense, you know. And I look what the morphine did to her brain. And the morphine is for people, usually for people with like cancer, like really, really bad pain. And what the nurse gave it to them, so just the patient get a heart attack, so they can finally die.
Oh, so you found online that they do that on purpose so they could die?
100%. When
Okay.
I told the nurses and I told the doctor, I don't want no morphine anymore. I want my mom doesn't need morphine. In the beginning, they were a little no, they
Did you ask?
she
Did you
get
ask? Did you try and find another, like a doctor that you know or somebody else, and ask for their opinion?
I spoke with a couple her do back doctors, and that's what they told me. So I was pretty sure, like, I want to make sure before I say something. I want to
They
make sure
showed
if
you, the doctors confirmed that they do that on purpose?
well, no, they what they told me were is they give morphine to for the pain, and what the morphine does to a person is to like accelerate the death. So it's like giving a heart attack so people can go to
Okay.
rest. But I told her like she doesn't have that much pain. I know my mother. And then one day I just went into the room and I said, I don't want you guys to give me no morphine to her. No more. And even the nurses, they were like arguing with me. She need a morphine. She's so much pain that you need to like, you know, feel sorry for her. It's like she doesn't have that much pain. Let her relax for the morphine, and I want to see how she reacts. If she told me that she's in so much pain that she cannot live like that, I will go back to the morphine. I want to see how she reacts first.
Okay.
And the answer was like, okay, but you know, if she get a little better, that was to her answer. If she get a little better, you know that you don't gonna have help anymore. We cannot come here 24/7.
That's horrible.
And I'm like, okay, I'd rather
Well,
feel about not my life.
The patient has to stay in terrible dying conditions for you to have help, in other words.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Wow.
And exactly that's what happened. They
Wow.
took the morphine off, and my mom, it's not like she got better because she's not better. She's not gonna get better, but she's stable.
Okay. And
Okay.
what's next? What's happening now?
Well, what's happening is like I'm taking care of her 24/7. I'll not be able to work, of course, not even from my home because I need to like give her the medicine. Like when she get those episodes that she cannot breathe, I have to have the, you know, I have to be
And it's
almost
only,
next to her.
and you're the only one
And
to, does your brother come and help you or stay and give you some rest?
unfortunately, he comes here and then, but he doesn't come that. I don't have a day off.
Okay, so you never asked him, like, you know?
I do. I did. And he said, like, somebody has to work. The other situation is that my brother, when we were in the hospital, my brother promised that he would take care of my rent and my mom's rent.
Okay.
My mom had Social Security benefits, but it's not enough because she never works. And it's like a roller coaster for me because it's not just a stress I don't sleep. I only sleep like maybe maximum 4 hours a day. And it's the stress to like take care of my mom that I thank God for that because I get to like,
Is she talking?
yeah, she talks.
Okay.
She cannot talk that much, but she talks.
But at least she's conscious. She knows what she's saying and doing.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, she cannot walk or anything.
No, she have a wheelchair. I have to take it to the bathroom. I have to like shower her, everything.
And what message do you have out there for all these people that from the hospital, the nurses, from, you know, what if you had them in front of you, what would you tell them?
To the nurses,
Yeah,
like
like
this,
if you had the
just
doctor.
because, like, I really, it's hard for me to trust right now in those people. Unfortunately, I know everybody's not the same, but they should think more about us, the family, you know, because maybe when she was like a morphine, she couldn't know what's going on around her. But we suffered like I thought my mom was gonna leave me, and I didn't have time to like at least to make it up to her, to close everything happens in my life. And I told her the family that if they have anybody, just stay on top of that, because unfortunately, and again, I'm not saying everybody. But hospital is more about money, how much they can take from insurance, more than people.
Yeah, so unfortunately, yeah, that's the system that we live in. And of course, it's not every doctor, it's not every hospital, but there's situations that happen and makes you think. I went through it, you're going through it. And I know a lot of other people that have gone through it, and hopefully something happens that there's enough awareness for things to take a turn and change. So before all this, Mariposa, you and your mom were not talking, and now you have her there next to you. Have you been able to make amends?
When she was in the hospital, and I told her, "I'm sorry if all the things that I said and I hurt you," and she said, "I'm sorry for not being a great mother," and I
Okay,
said,
so
"I for
you had the exchange of words, both of you.
yeah, I forgive you, and right now I try to enjoy every single second I have with her."
Okay.
You know, I speak a lot. I don't remember. I don't want to remember anything in the past. It's just now. Because I know she's gonna, I wanna have like a release, you know?
Yeah.
I want.
Has this situation made you see things differently in life?
Yes, 100%. What I believe, like, I always believe in God, but now it's like God, I pray to God to give me more time with her so I can close my shop that does. And he did. So God is up there. There's a God up there. And I thank him every day for, you know, having my mom with me, and be able to live in my place and having my mom next to me, you know. It's a miracle. It's a miracle.
So, in order for you to get help with this battle, you have opened up a GoFundMe page. We'll put that GoFundMe on the show notes so you guys can contribute and help them if you can, whatever amount you can, $1, $2, whatever it is that you can contribute will be amazing for Mariposa and her mom as she continues to take care of her mom on her own and as a great help. Mariposa, I want to thank you so much for being on the pod and sending you light and strength for you and mom, and just stay strong.
Thank you, Alice. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
You got it. You got it. And remember, just
I
one.
love you.
I love you too. And remember, one more thing.
Don't follow the path.
Listen up, Podheads. I want to know what you thought about today's episode. Be part of the conversation. Go to podwithme.com, look for the episode, and place your comments. Also, if you want to tell your story on Pod With Me, go to the Contact Us section and let us know. Remember, you can listen to the pod here or on any other streaming devices that play podcasts. Oh, and if you cannot get enough of the pod, you can download the Pod With Me app, available at all app stores. This is Alex J. Aguilar, and remember, don't fall off the pod.
Ready.